When I first came to Shelton about 7 years ago, one of the guys from the Ministerial Association asked me to write an article for the newspaper, and it was on Easter. So this is the article, and it's by the grace of God. I did some research, but it's by the grace of God that this was put together. And I don't know, every time I read it, I think, you know, that's pretty good. I ought to get a copy myself. But so I wanted to share and have my brother Paul read it for you. But before he does, we want to just say thank you and welcome to everybody. Thanks for coming here and being with us. We are the family of God. Amen. Amen. Part of the kingdom of God. His rule and his reign is here. And we are here to exalt and lift up the name of Jesus. He is the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords. Amen. And he is coming again. And God is telling his people to wake up. Wake up and look up, for your redemption is drawing nigh. Sooner than when we first believed, you know, the Lord is coming, folks. And God is calling us back into that place of intimacy, into that place of relationship, into the place where, you know, life is good in the God zone. It's just a matter of taking that step back. You know, when you set your heart to seek the Lord, to draw near to him, he comes running for you. Amen. He comes running for you. He's got his arms open to you. Hallelujah. He doesn't say, you dirtball, I don't want anything to do with you. He says, come on home. I've been waiting for you. Amen. All right. You got dirty. Let me clean you up, but just stay out of the mud puddle after this. Okay. All right. Because he wants us to live clean. Amen. And we can be clean because he makes us clean. All right. He gives us the grace that we have need of. Paul, would you come?
Grave is empty and he's alive. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So what comes to mind when you hear the word Easter? In Webster's Dictionary, Easter is described as an annual Christian feast in which commemoration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ observed on the first Sunday after the first full moon after the vernal equinox. Easter was originally a pagan festival honoring Easter, a Teutonic, a Germanic name, goddess of light and spring, in which sacrifices were offered in her honor. As early as the 8th century, the name was used to designate the annual Christian celebration of the resurrection of Christ. A one-time atheist named Josh McDowell was questioned by a university student from Uruguay, who asked him, Mr. McDowell, why can't you refute Christianity? In which he answered, it's a very simple reason. I am unable to explain away an event in history, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This statement was made after he had devoted more than 700 hours of study in this subject and enough to convince him of the validity of the claims of the Bible regarding the resurrection of Christ. Although the name Easter does not appear in the Bible, many have chosen to celebrate the resurrection of Christ on this particular day each year. Others celebrate the resurrection of Christ every day of their lives. Amen. This is those that have personally experienced what is referred to in the Bible as the new birth. Jesus Christ declared, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me through he will be made, he may die, he shall live. Jesus didn't say he was the way to the resurrection, did he? He proclaimed, I am the resurrection. What he meant by that was, in order to possess resurrection life, you must be possessed by resurrection life. In other words, you must receive him who alone holds immortality. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible declares in John 1:12, but to as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Without indwelling presence of Christ, Easter is just another shallow holiday, but in Christ Jesus, you pass from death unto life. For by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For in Adam all die. Even so, in Christ, all shall be made alive.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now I don't have to preach because that was it right there. Hallelujah.
That is the message in itself.
Wow. He is alive forevermore. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. Amen. And he has sent the Holy Spirit to us. And the kingdom of heaven, amen, this invisible eternal kingdom is at hand or among you right now. He is here. The Lord is here today. If you need a miracle today, he is your answer. He is the resurrection. Amen. He is the same God who spoke everything into existence. He can take care of our problems. We just need to give it to him. Amen. Trust him. And trust his heart. If you don't understand anything else, if you don't understand what you're going through, if you don't seem to have the answers figured out in your mind, then trust the heart of God, because the heart of God is always good for you. Amen? It's always to do you well, to do you good. And sometimes he has to take us out behind the shed, amen, to get our attention. But because he loves us that much, he will do that. And I'm just thankful today that the Lord does discipline me as well at times. Because we need it. Amen?
Amen?
If you see your child playing in traffic, you should love him enough to snatch him out of traffic, right?
Yeah.
I say, well, be blessed and be at peace, my brother. You know? No, you got to do something about it, right? And sometimes God will intervene and he'll mess up our plans because our plans are often not the best for us. We think we know what's best for us, you know. Right? We've got a better idea sometimes than God. But sometimes our plans get in the way of what's best for us. Sometimes because he's working in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure, our plans will agree with his plans. But the bottom line is that we need to submit everything before our Father's desk and say, Father, what do you say? Does this live or does this die in my life? Does this go to the cross and die or does this pass through to resurrection? How many are willing to do that? How many are willing to say, whatever it is in my life, Lord, if it's not of you, I don't want it. I want it to go to the cross. I want to kill it there. Amen? Because whatever is of you and whatever you're allowing in my life, I'll also bring that to the cross because on the other side of the cross is the resurrection. We are to walk now in the new life. Amen? Of Christ. Walk new life in the Spirit. That's to live on the other side of the cross, folks. We come to the cross because it's at the cross where we find forgiveness, where we find mercy, where we find pardon. Amen? His amazing grace is at the cross. But it's to cleanse us and to prepare us to house him, to house his Spirit. Amen? So we can walk in new life and resurrection power. Hallelujah. And so if we're walking, you know, with him in the Spirit, we have life and peace. If we keep going back to the mud puddle, well, life isn't good there. But I've discovered that life is always good in the God zone. Amen? It's always good to have peace with God in your heart. Amen? And you don't need to listen to that devil who lies to you either, you know, who tries to just to accuse you and remind you of the things that you've already confessed to God. He said if you confess it, he'd forgive you. But he's the accuser of the brethren, so he just wants to remind you of your past so that you will condemn yourself and not have, you know, confidence in approaching your Father. He's constantly trying to keep us from approaching our Father because he knows that if you come to your Father, whatever you have need of is there. And what he will give you will be destructive to the kingdom of darkness. The devil is afraid of a person who prays. Because it's there where we find power, amen, to help us, his grace, his mercy. Hallelujah. You know that the resurrection was prophesied by the prophet Joel. In Job 14, and in verse 7, it says, for there is hope for a tree, if it is cut down, that it will sprout again, and that its tender shoots will not cease. Though its roots may grow old in the earth and its stump may die in the ground, yet at the scent of water. Everybody say the scent of water. It will bud and bring forth branches like a plant. But man dies and is laid away. Indeed, he breathes his last. And where is he? Question. As water disappears from the sea and a river becomes parched and dries up, so man lies down and does not rise till the heavens are no more. Now, this is a natural man looking at things, thinking, well, that's it. You just die and it's over. They will not awake nor be roused from their sleep. And you see often in scriptures where somebody's going to be doing a dialogue with themselves. Or first of all, like Solomon did it, you know. It's all vanity. And then at the end he says, well, here's the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and obey his commandments, you know. And so David did it often in the Psalms too, where he was just kind of having this ongoing debate in his head, you know, or this, he's talking about, yeah, there's really, you know, I'm in this hopeless state. Life is bad. There's no hope. What's the sense? What's the use? What's it all about, you know? And then the next thing he's saying, but then God intervened and God pulled me up out of that pit, you know, and he placed me upon a rock and put a new song in my heart, a song of praise to him, you know. And it's just amazing how all of a sudden you can see where the Spirit just steps in and resurrects him from that place of despair. And so it says here, verse 13, that you would hide me in the grave, that you would conceal me until your wrath is past, that you would appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man dies, here it is, shall he live again? Question. All the days of my hard service I will wait till my change comes. Do you see? It's almost like a little bit of double-mindedness going on here. Of course, none of you have ever done that before, but I have. Have you ever wavered before? You ever been in a place where you just don't know if this isn't even making any sense to me anymore? I've been there. I haven't been there in quite a while, but I had been there once in my life. You know, sometimes we're going to be tested. Sometimes we're going to be allowed to go through some things because God wants to make you something. You can't be anything unless you go through something. You can't be promoted unless you pass the test. You can't have a testimony without the test. So shall he live again? He says, I'm going to wait until my change comes. He knew. David prophesied of the resurrection in Psalm 16 and 10. He said, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. This is also prophetic scripture speaking of the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus. He says, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. How many have discovered that on the other side of the cross there are pleasures? As we have been raised up together with Christ, it's a good place to be in the Spirit. Amen. God wants us to live, folks, from the resurrection. He wants us to live from the ascended life. He doesn't want us to live, are you with me, down in the pit. He wants us to live on the other side of the cross. He wants us to walk in newness of life. Amen. And so from heaven's perspective, that's where things change. You get a different view of your circumstances from heaven's perspective, from the resurrected perspective, where you are seated with Christ in heavenly realms. And we have access to that realm, amen, by the blood of Jesus, in confidence to come and worship him in spirit and in truth. And as we worship him in spirit and in truth, he lifts us up in the heavenly realms. On wings as eagles, we can soar with him in that place. The ascended life, we are to live and operate from that place where we are now with Christ in the heavenly realms, folks. And so we've got to renew our minds and our thinking, change our thinking. Amen? Stinking thinking, right? We've got to get out of that and set your affections on things above where Christ is. Listen to what he's promised. Receive the grace that he freely gives. Walk in abundant life, superabundant in quantity, superior in quality life. Hallelujah. Isaiah prophesied also 700 BC, 26:19, your dead shall live together with my dead body. They shall arise. Awake and sing, you who dwell in the dust, for your dew is like the dew of herbs. And the earth shall cast out the dead. Jesus claimed to what? To be it. He is the resurrection. Now, in John 11:25, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. You know, I don't get caught up and hung up, folks, on the Easter stuff where people are all bent out of shape about Easter eggs and all that stuff, you know. You know, if that bothers somebody, then I'm not going to color an Easter egg around them, okay? All right? It's like it's not about any of that stuff. But what we've done is, it's just like other things that have happened. You know, there were pagan rituals and festivals that people observed. And the believers said, you know what? So many people are wrapped up in this stuff. You know, we're going to have an alternative to that. On this day, we're going to do this. Instead, we're going to call this our resurrection day. Amen. Celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. We're not going to get hung up on what the heathen do. They're doing that because they don't know any better. Amen. But we know better. We know what Easter's all about. To us, it means he's risen, right? Amen. Hallelujah. Now, we see also in Leviticus 14, the resurrection in type. The law of the cleansing of the leper. You know, the leper was considered unclean. He was highly contagious, and he was to be isolated outside of the camp, if you will, outside of the city. He was to be separated, and they had to cover their beard, you know, and they had to mess their hair up, and they had to actually make themselves look worse than they already did, and they had to go about saying, unclean, unclean, you know. And so God had made provision in the law, in Leviticus chapter 14, of how a leper was to be cleansed. And in this we can see a type of Jesus being the high priest. You know, who was the one who went outside the camp. To you and I, who are the lepers, leprosy is a type of sin, you know. And we were unclean, we were separated from God. And so he gave instructions to the priesthood, and most of what they did, you know, probably didn't make any sense to them because they didn't have the full revelation then. They were just obeying God and doing what he told them to do. And he says, I want you to do it this way. So the leper was brought to the priest, and there was two living and clean birds were also brought. There was cedar wood, scarlet, and hyssop. The cedar wood and the hyssop, well, one is cedar is a lofty high tree, and the hyssop is just a lowly little plant or an herb, really. And so what we can see there is the judgment of God upon humanity. Scarlet is associated with sins. In Isaiah 1:18, it says, come now, let us reason together, though your sins be as what? Scarlet. They shall be white as snow. So hyssop also is associated with inner cleansing. In Psalms 51:7, David said, purge me with hyssop, purge me. In another place, he said, purge me of mine iniquities. Inner cleansing, inner sins, that I may be, what, whiter than snow. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. So what took place is they had two birds. Can you picture this? Two clean birds. One was killed, and the blood was brought over an earthen jar of what would be living water. It would have to be good water, fresh water, living water, which symbolizes the Holy Spirit, the regeneration of the Holy Spirit. And of course, the blood of the sacrifice speaks of what? The sacrifice of Jesus on our behalf. But then they would take the living bird along with the, of course, what? The cedar wood representing what? The cross. Cursed is everyone who hangs upon a tree. And in type, so we see the scarlet thread. It was like a scarlet wool thread. It was a it would be wrapped around the board, if you will, with the hyssop, and that would be dipped with the blood. I mean, of the living bird into this basin that had water and blood. Isn't it interesting that when Jesus hung on the cross, they took a sword and they thrust it through his side and out flowed blood and water. Everything had its place and type. It was to show us a picture of our redemption in Christ. And this is the awesome thing. After that happened, after they take this bird and they would sprinkle it, because they would span the wings out on this bird, and the blood in the water would be sprinkled upon the unclean seven times. Seven speaks of divinity. Amen. It speaks of God intervening on behalf of mankind. God so loving the world. And they took the blood in the water and they sprinkled upon the unclean, the leper, and he would be what? Pronounced clean. But check this out. Not only would that happen, but they would take the release the living bird into the open field, which is what? A type of resurrection. Hallelujah. In mercy, the leper was released, pronounced clean, no longer under restraint or confinement. Hallelujah. And so do we see here how God had a plan all along. He had a plan for us, folks. He knew that you would do what you did. He knew that you and I were going to blow it. He knew ahead of time, even when you just made that last bozo, right? That last mistake. God already knew what you were going to do. And God made a provision for that. God does not say that that's okay, but God does say that if you mess up, I have a solution for that. Amen? There is blood that is there on the altar, on the mercy seat in heaven. It's the blood of our Savior Jesus Christ. And the blood speaks, and it speaks mercy. Amen? Where we had come under the judgment of sin, and because of sin, we had all fallen short, and because of sin, death came upon us all. But God in His mercy sent Jesus, amen, the perfect spotless Lamb, to die on that cross, to redeem us from the curse. Hallelujah. To pay the price that we deserve to pay. And then on the third day, He rose again so that we also could be justified and we could rise again with Him. Yeah. Hallelujah. And when we turn to the Lord in repentance and faith, and this is what it comes down to, folks. You got to hear this now. It's absolutely essential that an individual goes to the cross. It's absolutely essential for salvation that a person has a contrite and a broken heart before God about their sin. That a person comes to the place where they realize that they need mercy, and they don't come in their self-righteousness and say, God, look how good I am. But they come to God and they beat their breasts and they say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Yeah, yeah. Amen. Amen. And those are the ones who God will say, I've taken care of it. I paid the price. And you can go free. Your leprosy is cleansed. And now you can walk with me in new life. The blood is applied, folks, in our life by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Why then was it necessary for Christ to rise again? Number one, the resurrection of Christ proved that His sacrifice on our behalf was approved by God the Father. In Hebrews 9 and 12 it says, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with His own blood He entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Do you understand that Jesus is our high priest? That Jesus paid our price? The sinless, perfect one paid our price at the cross. Amen. And with His own blood, it says, He went before, amen, the throne of grace, and on the mercy seat He placed His own blood. You see, under the law, under the Levitical priesthood, the high priest once a year on the Day of Atonement would have to take blood on behalf of the people. Amen. Behind the veil into the most holy place. Amen. And only if he was clean could he do that. How many know that Jesus was clean? Jesus was without sin. If He had sin, He would not have risen again on the third day. Amen. He could not be our sacrifice. If Jesus didn't rise again, we would still be in our sin. We would have no hope. But God did overcome. Hallelujah. For us. And so the high priest would go behind that veil and sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat on behalf of the people. That's what Jesus did for us. Jesus went behind that veil for us. Amen. He went into heaven itself for us. The resurrection of Christ now means we have a high priest to what? Represent us. The Old Testament priest entered behind the veil with blood. The resurrection means we have forgiveness of sins. Romans 5:9, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. The resurrection means mankind can be made righteous again by faith in Christ alone. Romans 10:6. How many know that folks need to hear the message of salvation? How many know that God chose the preaching of this message for people to be saved? Amen? Amen. We have to take words with us, folks. We have to live the life, but we also have to speak the life. I'm going to say it again. You have to live the life, but you've got to also speak the life. God chose the foolishness of preaching to save the lost. And so therefore, we have a message, and we have a message of hope. We have a message for the world that Jesus Christ has overcome the world. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and He has made a provision for our sins. If we mess up, we can come to Him. We have an advocate. We have a defense lawyer. We have someone that's standing up for us, and we can come to Jesus and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Would you forgive me? And He says, I've forgiven you. You can go free. You're cleansed from your leprosy. Go and sin no more. Hallelujah. I want to add that in there. What about our resurrection? What about our resurrection? How many know that everybody is going to be raised? The Bible talks about two resurrections. And some people think I'm just gonna check out because I don't want to have to face any of the stuff I got myself into. Are you with me? Or there's some people thinking that when I die, I'm just gonna die and they're gonna put me in the grave and that's gonna be the end of it. Well, that's wishful thinking, but that's not reality. You are a living soul. We are living souls, and we're gonna spend eternity somewhere. The Bible's very clear about this. It is appointed for man once to die, and after this, the what? The judgment. We're going to see Jesus Christ. Every knee is going to bow to Him in that day, and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is Lord. And God is saying, get ready, get your house in order. I've made atonement for your sins. The blood is on the altar. If you'll come by way of the cross, if you'll forsake those things, and you'll turn to me, you'll find mercy, hallelujah, and you'll be able to walk in the new life that I paid for at the cross for you. Amen. He paid the highest price for us, folks. It's not up to us anymore how we're going to live our lives. Are you with me? In the sense that we're going to do, despite the Spirit of grace, we're going to live unto God because He died for us and rose. How many know that if you are a believer and Christ is in you, that you have been purchased, that you belong to Him, you're actually His property. And therefore, we are responsible for what we do with His property. How many know this body is His property too? You are responsible for what you do with your body because it is His property. That's why we're warned in Scripture to avoid sexual immorality. Why? Because it is taking a member of Christ, something that belongs to Him, and giving it away to Satan. It's called adultery, amen, or fornication. But in the Spirit, it's also true. That when we do despite the Spirit of grace, when we willfully choose to disobey God, we're committing adultery. We're cheating on God. Why? Because we're His bride. He paid for us with His blood. He shed His blood for us so we could be clean and we could be holy and we could be dressed in white and we could be prepared to see Him in that day. Amen. And be welcomed in, and He would be rejoicing in His bride that has made herself ready, and she has washed her garments in the blood of the Lamb. Amen? And that's why we can no longer take this body and give it over to fornication or immorality. Why? Because it belongs to Jesus. And when we lift the cup of communion, it is the marital cup. It is me saying, I am in covenant with you, Jesus. I'm married to you. Everything I have is yours. Everything you have is mine. Hallelujah, what a good deal that is. He can have everything I have, you know. But man, what I want is what He has. His eternal life. His abundant life. Hallelujah. That's why we don't give ourselves over to these things, because we are the members of Christ. We're His bride. He's not coming for a prostitute. He's coming for a bride. He's coming for a ready church without spot or blemish. Get ready, because He's coming just like He said. We're coming into a time, and many people are just thinking, well, things have just continued the way they always have. We got lots of time. Jesus said, for those servants who think like that, he's going to come in an hour when they think not. He's going to come on them suddenly. You know what, folks? It's time that we rise out of sleep and rise out of the dust, that we shake off the dust of this world, amen, which is coming to nothing, and we embrace the call of God and the purpose of God, the will of God above everything else, that we seek the kingdom of God above everything else, that we get ourselves completely immersed in Christ, amen, in the presence of the Lord, and that we be about our Father's business, that we're occupying until he comes, amen. We want to be found faithful in the day when he comes, because everyone here, and I know you do, you want to hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have followed me. You have served me faithfully. You have obeyed my voice. There's two resurrections in Scripture. John 5:26 says, for as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. He said, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. There's two resurrections. In Revelation 24, it says, I saw thrones and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. And then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their heads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no part. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Folks, let me just once again remind us of the time we're living in. The occult is on the rise. Amen. It is at a place where we've never ever seen it before. And the devil has a short time, and the devil is very busy deceiving the minds, especially of young people, getting them interested in evil and bloodletting and drinking blood and all these satanic things. He is working, and he's working on their minds. He's subverting them, because there's coming a time, hallelujah, I believe, and it's coming soon, when God is going to call his bride out of this, and he's going to rain down his wrath on the world of the ungodly. And today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to get on the ark, and that ark is Jesus Christ, because the judgment of God is not going to rain with water. It's going to come with fire this time. And if you read your Bible, this is the truth. And I don't care if people don't like to hear this. This is what God says, and it's time for people to wake up and understand that if I don't tell you the truth, I'm going to answer for it. If I don't tell you the truth, I will answer for it. Noah was a faithful man, and he preached. He was a preacher of righteousness. And only 8 souls were saved from that entire world. And he said, Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the coming of the Son of Man. It is time for people to wake up and realize the time we're living in, and to get your heart right with God. Jesus paid for your sins. He made a way for you to be clean. Amen. If you come by way of the cross, and on the other side of the cross is the new life of peace. Amen. We can walk in him and we can enjoy life. We don't have to live in fear and in condemnation. We can walk in complete freedom. Hallelujah. I don't have to wake up in the morning and say, I wonder if I'm saved. I wonder if I'm going to heaven. I just say, Jesus, thank you. Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus said, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. This is the reality, folks, of what we're living in. Amen. The second resurrection was the resurrection of condemnation that Jesus spoke of. And that's recorded in Revelation 20 in verse 11 through 15. And the question is for us today, are we ready? I'm ready, folks. I'm ready. My heart is at peace with God. I'm ready. But you know, it's not ready because of the grace I give myself. I'm not standing up here and saying, I'm ready because I'm just such a nice guy. Most of you know that's not true anyways, but But I'm ready because of Jesus. Jesus makes us ready. I'm ready because I come to Jesus in brokenness and I just say, Lord, I'm a mess. Fix me. Wash me. Cleanse me. Heal me. Amen? And stay at that place where you know, if you mess up, thank God, you don't have to walk around with your head down. You don't have to walk around in fear and shame. He's taking care of that too. He carried that at the cross. What do? You just run to Jesus. The worst thing you could do is run away from him. He's there to love you. He's there to receive you. Just come back to him. Would you bow your heads this morning? If you're away from the Lord today, he's calling you back. He's saying, just come back. Just come back to me. Come unto me. He wants to give you rest today. He wants to reveal to you his purpose for your life, the higher purpose for which you were created. He doesn't want you to waste yourself and waste your life on vain living just for the temporal. But he wants you to share in his kingdom. He wants to share it with you. He's so good. And his blood is there on the mercy seat in heaven for you. And right where you're at, you can just say, Jesus, I ask you to forgive me. Forgive me for all my sins. Lord, restore me. Restore me today. Lord, I don't want to live in the past anymore. I don't want to live in fear and shame anymore. I don't want to live in regret anymore. Lord, I want my sins blotted out. Jesus, I just open my heart to you right now. And I ask you, come. Come into me, Lord. Come into my heart. Come into my life and every part of my life. Lord, I fully surrender my heart to you. Lord, you can come into any room in my house, any room in me. Lord, you can go to the attic, you can go to the basement, any place. There's no secrets with you anyways. And I ask you to apply your blood by the Holy Spirit. And come in and be my Lord, be my Savior, be my honored guest, be number one in my life. Jesus, I want you to be number one in my life again. I want you to be my all in all. I want to be in love with you again. I want to return to you with all my heart today. I believe. If you mean business, if you're sincere, God will meet you right where you're at. Hallelujah. And then the Lord says, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father in heaven. Hallelujah. How many here would just say, you know what? I don't care what people think because I don't want God to deny me because I denied him before men. But I'm willing to stand up today and say, I'm counted with Jesus. You know, I don't care how long you've been a saint today. You can say by just standing up today, you know what? I am just standing up to say that I am not ashamed. Amen. To be called by his name, to be his child. And I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm sick of death. I'm going to walk in life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Beloved, let me just encourage you with this. Find out what the will of God is for your life. Find out. Don't live your life like so many people do. Well, I know God has a purpose for me. I don't know what it is. But find out what the will of God is. Don't be foolish, but be wise. Know what the will of God is for your life and live out the will of God for your life. There is nothing higher, nothing greater for you. That is your purpose for which you were created. Discover him. Discover that. Seek his face. Draw near to him. He'll draw near to you. Seek the kingdom of God above everything else. Everything else. And he'll take care of all the other stuff. Hallelujah. God bless you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. and cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up the light of His countenance on you. May He smile upon you and give you shalom. And may the peace of the Lord be with your spirit. May you enjoy this day, the day that the Lord has given you.